What I have titled my message today is, Do You See What I See? And it comes from, that statement actually comes from a little Christmas carol, I believe a children's type carol, Do You See What I See? And it's interesting in life, and I'm sure you have noticed this, that two people can be looking at something or someone and yet not see the same thing. Sometimes an artist will create an optical illusion, a work of art in which what you see depends on how you look at it. Now, I have an example for you. If I was teaching my class, I'd make them all shut their eyes and then open them at the same time, but I won't do that with you. But just as you look at this picture, think of what you first see. Okay, so everybody ready? All right, here goes. I think. So what'd you see? A lion and zebras. Right, so some people will look at that and right away they'll see a zebra. But then someone else, the artist has it set so that when they look at it, they'll see the lion. And so it depends how you're looking at it. It's interesting down at Echo Lake where we have our camp, there's a large rock cliff type of thing across the lake from our camp. And it's been named Old Baldy. And the reason it's been named Old Baldy is because if you look at it at the right time of day, you can actually see a man's head, a bald-headed man. But you know, sometimes I have people down there and they can sit and look at that and all they see is a rock face. That's it. But other people, they'll look at it and they'll say, I see it. There's a man's head. You can see it. So every time, or often when we look at things, we can see different things. Now, I actually want to read the scripture that made my mind go in this direction for today. It's not a typical scripture to be read at a Christmas service, because I want to go to the book of Revelation and chapter 5. And what I would like to do is take a look at what John saw when he was temporarily transported to heaven in the spirit to receive revelation about future events. Thanks, Len, for whatever you did. So we're going to take a look at that. So it's Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Just make sure. Okay. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been freshly slain. So you notice that in this particular scripture, that John, who is in the spirit, and he's being showing things that are still haven't happened, that they're in the future. And he's been taken up to see these future events, and he's invited to behold the throne and to see upon the throne the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who is the root of David. And so it's as if John goes up to the throne and he takes a look, but rather than seeing a lion, he actually sees a lamb as one that's freshly slain. And when I thought about those verses, and I mean, it's just sort of the way my mind goes, but I thought, that's so interesting. John is, in a sense, told to behold a lion, and he goes and takes a look, and he sees a lamb. And so you have the lion, and you have the lamb. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time here. I just wanted you to see that picture. But the lion of the tribe of Judah is a symbol that you'll find in the book of Genesis and also in the book of Revelation. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob is blessing his 12 sons. And in verse 9, he comes to his son Judah. And he refers to Judah as, and his future tribe, as a lion's cub and a lion. And then we find that symbolism again when we read in Revelation 5, where it talks about the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's the one who has triumphed and is worthy to open the scroll that's going to be opened, and its seven seals. And as the seven seals are opened, we read in the book of Revelation that God is going to be judging the world and his enemies. But if we go to John's gospel, it says that the Father judges no one, but has turned all judgment over to the Son, which means that the judge is going to be the Lord Jesus. So if you put that all together, then that means that the lion of the tribe of Judah is actually the Lord Jesus. And yet when John looks at the throne, it's as if he doesn't see the lion, but he sees the Lamb of God, the one who was freshly, as if he was freshly slain. And I don't know about you, but as I read this and thought about it, I thought that's just so amazing. But of course, when we look to the future, after the Lord comes and we're all gathered together around the throne, we're just going to see an amazing thing after an amazing thing after an amazing thing. And you can just keep going on in your mind. One amazement after another. But that's what John saw when he looked. And so, where am I going with all this on the Sunday before Christmas? Well, as we celebrate Christmas once again, and we take a look at the manger. I think we were singing about the manger this morning, Away in a Manger. So as we take a look at the manger, what I would like you to ask yourself is, what do you see? Do you think that of all the people that are in this room, do you think that all of us see the same thing when we look at the manger? I don't think we do. And so I want you to think about that. This Christmas season, this morning, starting this morning, think about, what do I actually see when I look at the manger? Now, I want to take a brief look at some of the people, at most of the people who were associated with the Christmas story, and see what they saw when either they looked at the manger or they saw the Lord Jesus, not necessarily in the manger, but as a baby. And some of them, we know their names. Others are just representative of a group of people. So I thought, since the children are here, and I always like having the children, I'd give out two or three hot chocolates to the children. So the first hot chocolate is going to go to a child who is six or under. How many people have we got in here are six and under? Okay, now, in order for you to get your hot chocolate, and have them here in this little white bag here. So in order for you to get a hot chocolate, you have to answer a question. So you ready? Now, you look at all these people, and so there's three of them that I have numbered there. See, one, two, three. Now, to get the hot chocolate, you have to tell me who they are. So, do you think you know? Okay, go ahead.
Jesus.
Pardon?
Jesus.
No. Sorry. Okay, what do you think? Okay, Mary and Joseph, and then you're right on Mary and Joseph, and then the third guy represents a group of people. Look at what he has on his shoulders. Okay, go ahead.
Lamb.
So who looks after lambs? You're right. Come and get this. Whew, that took some work. There you go. Okay, now this next one is for people that are over 6, but under 12. Okay, so you got to do the next three. There they are. So you got to do 4, 5, and 6. There's a hand way back there. Okay, go ahead, Matthew. Sorry, you're going to have to, I'm half deaf. King Herod, you're right. Who's the other? Now, who's beside him? Number 5. Can you tell? The wise men. Woo! Okay. Now, there's one more way up in the corner. Guy at the door open and he's waving. Who would that be? Oh, you sure? Come on up. You got it. All right. Matthew. Okay, now these others are for anybody else. This is it. We can't be doing this all day. Okay, so you have to get the right names for 7, 8, 9, and 10. So who wants to try? Nicholas. Yeah, and who's above John the Baptist? That's okay, you can have this anyway. Nicholas? Well,
that's not fair, he's on staff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I've known Nicholas a long time. Okay, so what we want to do then is just to take a brief look at those people and to see what it is that they saw when they looked at the manger, when they looked at the Lord Jesus. And so we'll just, and this isn't going to take that long, but we'll go through them here. First of all, we have Mary. And what did she see? When she looked at the manger, when she looked at that little baby, what did she see? Now, this is a scripture. We don't have time to read them all. But this scripture gives us a hint as to what Mary saw. And if you read through that, I believe that when Mary looked at the baby in the manger, of course, she saw her son. Right? Like, that makes sense because it was her boy. It was her firstborn. But she saw more than just her son. She saw that son of the highest. In other words, he was not just her son, but he was the son of God. And Mary knew that when she looked at him. And then also, if you consider that scripture there, you'll see that Mary also saw a king who was going to sit upon the throne of David, and his kingdom would last forever. So I'm sure she saw lots of other things as well. But that's what she saw. And of course, she sort of had an inside scoop, didn't she? Because she was visited by an angel. And she was told these things. Now, if you watched, or you had to have watched that little skit that Marion and I did, And see, she had that advantage over her dad. Her dad was not visited by an angel. And you notice that when her dad looked at the baby, he didn't see what Mary saw. He didn't see this. He saw a family disgrace. He saw a real problem until he was convinced to look at the baby the same way that Mary was looking at the baby. And then, of course, next we have Joseph. You know, what did Joseph see when he looked at the Lord Jesus? Well, of course, he saw his adopted son, because Joseph wasn't his natural father. God was his father, but Joseph took him in as a son. So Joseph would have seen that. But Joseph saw more than that. He saw Jesus, the one who was born to save his people from their sins. Because again, Joseph had an inside scoop. He too was visited by an angel. So an angel told him that. Call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. And you notice that Joseph was also the one who was told that his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. And so if you can just imagine Joseph sitting back and looking at that little baby, and this could be what's going through his mind. There's Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. He's a Savior. He's come to save his people from their sins. Then, of course, we have the shepherd. And the shepherd, again, somebody that had an inside scoop. They were not just visited by an angel, but they were visited by a host of angels. And so when the shepherds looked at the Lord Jesus, then they saw a Savior. And he was the one who was called Christ the Lord. So you see all these different names associated with the Lord Jesus, and they're sort of being introduced one by one. So Mary's told something, Joseph has told something, the shepherds are told something. So just by looking at those three characters, we see that the baby was Jesus, God saves, Son of the Highest, Emmanuel, and the Savior, Christ the Lord. You know, it's interesting that with the Lord Jesus, there is no one else that has ever been born that has as many titles and names as the Lord Jesus does. And at the very end of this, I'm going to show you a wordle of the names of the Lord Jesus, and I think you will be quite surprised. But this is just a few of them. So that was the shepherds. And then, of course, the innkeeper, we really don't know with the innkeeper what he thought. You know, he's made much of sometimes in pageants and that type of thing, but it doesn't say. He, in a sense, did the best he had. It wasn't his fault that the inn was full. It wasn't his fault that all those people were staying there. But it was full. And so he gave the best that he had, his stable. And that's where the Lord Jesus was born. But I sometimes wonder if that old innkeeper, and we don't know whether he was old or young, we don't know whether he's a man or a woman, he was just an innkeeper. But whoever he was, or she was, when he got up in the morning and went out and took a look, I wonder what went through his mind. We don't know. But you know what? I have a feeling we'll be able to ask the innkeeper. Because I think the innkeeper will be in heaven. He gave, or she gave, the Lord what she had to give. And so that's the innkeeper. And then, of course, we have old Simeon. And you don't hear as much about old Simeon in the Christmas story, but Simeon, when he looked at the Lord Jesus, he saw the fulfillment of a promise. Because it would seem like God had made a promise to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen God's salvation. And so when the Lord Jesus came into the temple and Simeon took the Lord Jesus up in his arms, he said, okay, it's all right now, I can die because my eyes have seen your salvation. And so that's what Simeon was looking at in his advanced age. But then there was another woman in the temple as well. Her name was Anna. She was 84 years old. And she'd been in that temple for a long time. And she had served God there by fastings and prayers night and day. And when she came in, and I believe she came in as Simeon was blessing the child, and she came in and she saw the child, and she spoke of him as being, or she gave thanks for him as the Redeemer, the one who all Jerusalem was looking at for redemption, or for there were those in Jerusalem looking for redemption. And so she saw him as the Redeemer, the one who was going to buy back a people for himself. And so that was Anna. And then, of course, the wise men, they get made much of as well. What did they see? Well, they saw the one who was born King of the Jews. And I think I mentioned this one other time here that it always amazes me. I don't know whether there was anyone else. I don't know of an individual that was born a king. Most are born a prince. You know, you had old Prince Charlie, who's now the king, and you have all these different princes, but the Lord Jesus was born a king, the King of the Jews, and he's going to be a king forever. And he's sitting on the throne of his father, David, and his reign's going to be without end. And then, of course, you have old Herod, King Herod. Not such a nice guy to think about. And you know, Herod never actually ever laid his eyes upon the Lord Jesus, as far as I can see. Never saw him, but he heard about him. And you know, Herod, it would seem, knew a certain amount at least about the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. Because as soon as he heard about the one being born King of the Jews, he saw the Lord Jesus as being a tremendous threat to his rule. Perhaps Herod knew that he didn't deserve to be upon the throne. And he knew that the one who was born was the one who had the right to sit upon the throne. And of course, we know that Herod didn't want that. And he went to extreme measures to destroy children so that the baby would be born. But God saw to it that his desire was never carried out. Poor old King Herod. I would imagine with King Herod, he's lost forever. Not much hope for him. But these are all different people that are associated with the Christmas story, and we can think about them. But here's the important thing. How about you today? Here we are, 1 week away from Christmas. What do you see when you look at the manger? Do you see your Savior? Do you see one who has redeemed you? Do you know him as Savior? Do you see the one who is the Son of God? Do you see the one that you serve? Or maybe you're here this morning and you really don't care all that much. And you just take a look and all it is just a baby. What are you going to do with the baby in the manger this Christmas? I wonder how many are just going to, as it were, take the manger and shove it to the side. Just sort of push it out of the way. I wonder how many are not going to even give any thought to the one who was born to take away our sins. Maybe they'll just, sort of, as it were, shove it off into the corner and cover it up under the presents and the tinsel and not think anything about it. Well, I hope that this Christmas that each one of us will spend much time thinking about the one who was in the manger. Because that's what's all important. So let me ask each one here this morning, do you know the baby in the manger? Have you had a time in your life when you personally, as it were, bowed your knee and said, I will accept this one who came into the world and gave his life. I will accept him as my Savior, as my only hope. Because, my friend, that's what we need. You know, as I was thinking about this, as often old hymns come to my mind that we used to sing over and over again. Here's the one that came to my mind when I was thinking about this little message. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. I'll say it. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. Any place for him? The second verse goes, room for pleasure, room for business. I was thinking of it this way. Room for presents, room for parties. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Are we going to just put Jesus out at Christmas? Or are we going to make him the center and the focus of what we do this Christmas? Because he's the one that is worthy. He's the one that we need to worship and to remember. And let the other things just take their place, but he's the one that's important. And so this morning, we want everyone to have a wonderful Christmas. We want you to enjoy your family, to enjoy your time together. But whatever you do, make sure that you take the time to think about the one that came and was laid in a manger in order that you and I might have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, Marion is going to, we got 3 or 4 minutes. Is that good enough? Is going to do a little game with the kids. But just as she's coming up, here's that Wordle. Whoops, I went the wrong way. There it is. You see them all there? Those are all names of and titles of the Lord Jesus. You know, he's Lamb of God, Mighty One of Jacob, Gift of God, Captain of our salvation, God's dear Son. These are all ways he's referred to in the Bible. The unspeakable gift, the Holy One. None like him, is there?